We're back to the Neil Haley show. And you know, it's interesting. I wear my education hat. The first radio show I did was at W88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And it was an education show called The Total Education Hour. I did it probably for 5 or 6 years, 1 hour a week with all my other syndication, talked education, talked, debated different topics. And my guest today, oh yes, it's time to debate education again. And I feel so bad for educators across the world and what they're going through. And my guest today is Paul Burnaby, and he is going to talk about his book, Why Students Disengage in American Schools, and what we can do about it. Paul, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Neil, we're fine. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, especially about a topic that is dear to my heart, and I think one that is essential for us moving forward as a country and taking care of our young people.
Okay, so let's kind of do, when I jump into it specifically enough, what is your background? So you've written a lot of books, you have an impressive resume, impressive Google search. Kind of explain to me your background.
Well, everything I can possibly do in education. I was a teacher, middle school and high school teacher for many years, a high school counselor, administration, and now since 2000, our top 20 training company has been working in schools all over America. We've probably trained over 1 million teachers. We do retreats with kids, sessions with parents.
Oh wow!
And we're trying to help teachers and kids have a more positive experience in the classroom, and help and supporting parents in that process as well.
Well, see, the challenge in this is when I taught in the classroom again, I was a middle school teacher, a high school teacher, an elementary school teacher. The thing I really thought the challenge was is that the principals didn't know how to support the teachers. I only had one good principal, Patsy Caulfield, and every other one was just not very good. Mm-hmm. And they really didn't make my job fun. And if educators can't have fun, what they do, the students are going to understand that. And they're not going to achieve, right? Do you agree with me? And fun and really be creative like a teacher needs to be?
Neil, absolutely. And obviously COVID has taken a toll.
Oh, I couldn't imagine teaching COVID.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. A toll both on the teachers and on the kids. But even before that, we're going to have a major teacher shortage in America.
I can't believe it. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I remember when I got in the teaching profession, and especially being in Western Pennsylvania, it was impossible to get a teacher's job. Meaning an applicant for one top school was 10,000 people. I got picked off of the thing, got to the first round and our second or third round, and I was out. Why? Because the school board had it chosen. I can't believe there's going to be teacher shortages. They were thinking somewhere in the country, but now they're thinking everywhere. I mean, how are we going to figure this out? We're going to have uncertified teachers, which is going to be a huge problem. And yeah.
I was talking with a principal today. Uncertified teachers are already in our classrooms. We do a lot of work all over the country. We're working with some fabulous group in Kansas. And I was with the superintendent a week ago. I said, how many openings do you have for next year in one of his schools? He said, 4. I said, okay, what are the applications you've got? He said, in one opening, I've got one application. The other three openings, 0 applications.
Oh, no.
This is going to be a tragedy unless we jump up. So one of the things our company is trying to do, because as we work with schools, is to try to at least create an experience that teachers have that results in them wanting to stay.
Yeah.
Once young teachers start experiencing negativity, and I don't even mean negativity with the kids. Most of the calls that we get to work with schools are because of negativity amongst the adults in the building. And until we settle that, we're going to have people leaving in droves. And we don't have the young people coming into college today are not.
They don't want to major in education at all.
Right.
And one of the biggest missing things is your book needs to be in every college and university in the country that does teaching formation. That's definitely what needs to happen, because they need to understand, the professors that are doing this have to understand that they're doing a disservice if they don't figure out this problem. If not everyone gets together, no one's going to want to major in education.
Yeah, the the whole piece that in the particular book we're talking about tonight is why students disengage in American schools and what can we do about it? And there are lots of reasons. I mean, poverty is a factor.
Yes.
The experience of violence in kids, you know, all those kinds of big ticket items about which a school is concerned about, but can't do a lot about. What I was focusing on, what do kids actually experience in school that is causing students to disengage? And my whole professional life has been in school, so I'm not just beginning. I've been observing things for a long time. And I think the issue that we really have to take a close examination of is on a day-to-day basis, kids come into, I've got 14 grandkids. Some of them are really little and very curious about all kinds of stuff. As you take that child and put that kid in kindergarten, and then that kid moves from kindergarten through senior year in high school, that natural desire to learn gradually begins.
It disappears. Do you feel it's because of the changes of standards? I think that No Child Left Behind, I think that again, Common Core was not the greatest program. And then if I'm thinking after Common Core, it went to the latest one, which all these different education programs are really putting teachers under pressure. And we're not looking at how students achieve the best. We are looking at and comparing ourselves to other countries in the world where there's no good comparison in education. And we really have to focus our attention on making learning fun, and that's disappearing. Especially COVID, has there been any research done now? You need to write a book on this, how masks have hurt students' learning. Even though we had to wear them, how much this has become a serious problem that has caused kids' scores to go down dramatically because of the mask.
Yeah, and again, COVID had a major impact.
It had a major impact on everyone, yes.
You just used the word twice in the last minute that you were speaking. And the word was comparison. If you want to know why kids disengage in American schools, that's the buzzword. From kindergarten through senior year in high school, on a daily basis, kids are compared and judged. They're compared and judged by their teachers. They're compared and judged by their classmates. They're compared and judged by themselves, all right? And what happens is, I came up with a new word. I mean, I didn't even know this existed. The word is a telephobia.
A telephobia.
A telephobia. A telephobia is the fear of not being enough.
Yes.
Not being smart enough, not being good enough, not being tall enough, not being pretty enough, not being skinny enough, all right? And so when you are compared and judged, and we're talking about kindergarten through senior year in high school, what do kids experience that impacts their inner life? What's going on inside of a kid, right? What they're experiencing on a daily basis is comparison and judgment. And over time, that results in a telephobia, a kid believing they're not enough. And in that context, when that happens, when they start believing I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, the strategy for dealing with that, not consciously, but subconsciously, is to disengage, to back away. Now, who did this? I did. I didn't realize this was going on when I was a classroom teacher. I did comparison and judgment. When? Every single day. So let me give you one example.
Sure.
One example, because this is something we can do about it, all right? And I'm going to ask you, Neil, I want you to think of a kid in a class.
Right.
Let's say he's a sixth grader, right?
Okay.
And something's being taught. And this kid doesn't get it. He's confused about this math lesson or whatever it happens to be, all right? Where do you think that kid goes internally? What does he think or she? What do they feel? What do they believe when they're confused?
They feel terrible, distraught, discouraged, upset. And the older you get, the more you're going to get that.
Neil, I've asked a million teachers that question, and they have said exactly what you just said. Kids feel those kinds of things, and then they start.
So why do we make kids feel that? Why don't we become better at checking for understanding?
Here's the problem. What's the possibility of a kid in your class being confused? It's supposed to happen. So we have something that's going to happen. It should happen, confusion. But where kids go with it is to a dark place, a negative place. Why is that? Because we never told kids the secret about confusion. Drum roll on this one, my friend.
Okay.
Confusion, here's the secret. confusion is a natural and necessary part of all learning. I'm noticing you're wearing a tie.
I am, because I was doing a debate today for I'm not wearing a tie as much anymore. I'm dressed up as a teacher because I had a debate today for Florida Congress. I was moderating it virtually, but wearing it.
Wonderful. Let me ask you, were you ever confused about tying a tie?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. And you're sitting down, but I'm sure you walked into your office today, right? You walked in?
Yes.
Were you ever confused about walking?
Well, we're a little, very little.
Yes. I'll bet you can even ride a bike, Neil.
Yes, I can still ride a bike, but it was confusing at first.
It was confusing at first. Neil, everything you can do today, you were once confused about.
That's correct.
Confusion is a natural and necessary part of all learning. So here's what we're saying to teachers. Celebrate confusion. When you got a kid in class that's confused, say, hey, class, Neil's confused today. Neil, I love it when you raise your hand and you don't know something. Way to go. And now we're going to, 1, 2, 3, we're going to applaud once for Neil. All of a sudden, confusion no longer means Neil's dumb or stupid. It means he's about to learn.
That's going
to
be a very challenging transition to figure that out. Because I, as a tutor, tutored so many years, my tutoring company, teachers did not check for understanding. They did not look at, they looked at, if a kid doesn't get it, they just don't get it, and I move on. And we have to get that mentality out of our classrooms. And that's hard, especially when you can't find teachers. So you have your work cut out for you. Where can people purchase this book and all your different books? You have a definite place people can go right now, right?
Well, you come to our website, www.top20training.com. Mm-hmm. Top20training.com. The number's 20 is 20.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming by. I definitely have to chat again. I love talking education, and it's interesting. It's not changed. And we go in this cycle around and around and around the circle. Where are we going again? And people that say, I need a career now, teaching will be it, especially once COVID's gone and there's not masks. I would love to know the percentage of kids learning with masks. That could be another topic. I appreciate you coming by.
Neil, could I just give you my email address as well, if somebody wants to?
Yeah, go ahead and give me the email.
Paul@top20training.com. Thank you very much, Neil.
You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.